Live from Houston, Texas, this is Big Ideas Small Business with your host, Laura Camrath and Brian Gendron. And now, the music of Max Flynn.
I'm starting to feel a little crazy again. I think it's time I start to pack my things.
All right. Good afternoon and welcome to Big Ideas Small Business. I'm Brian Gendron. How are you, Laura Camera?
I am doing fantastic. Everything's great. We've got a visitor from the UK today.
Across the pond. Who'd you bring with you?
I brought Mr. Peter Daly Dixon. Peter is an Infusionsoft certified partner, so I'm also Infusionsoft certified, so that's how I know Peter. And he has this amazing business called Conquer the Chaos, and he has this super awesome software, which I've used, and it was amazing, called Macanta. And so he specializes in basically helping people nurture and follow up with leads. And he does that with a variety of technologies that he offers. So I'm sure he'll tell us a lot of super interesting, cool information about that later. But right now, I want to ask you, Brian, you have a cool, interesting, fun fact about Peter here, right?
I do. So we were talking before the show. And as it were, for about 6 years, Peter was a professional actor. And now, as an amateur actor, you just got casted to Twelfth Night.
In Twelfth Night, yes. First time I've performed in Shakespeare. And on the flight over, I had the script and I had my blue highlighter and I was just highlighting all my lines. And got to the end of it and I flicked back through the script and I thought, holy moly, there's a lot of blue on this script now. And so that'll be fun, exciting. We're actually performing. The run goes over my birthday, so that'll be fun to celebrate.
I doubt I can make it, but which theatre?
I perform at the Loft Theatre in Leamington Spa, Royal Leamington Spa, actually in Warwickshire, in the UK.
And so when's that performance going to be?
That's from the 5th to the 15th of December, yeah. So if anyone listening to this happens to be in England at that time, then we'll be happy to welcome them to the theatre and be good to see them.
So what role are you playing?
Sir Toby Belch.
Okay.
Yeah. He's the drunkard of the...
well, that seems suitable.
Borderline alcoholic. Thank you very much for casting aspersions on my character already. Okay, that's fine. Yes, I know where I stand.
Okay, so anyway, so Peter, tell us a little bit about your big idea.
I could tell you a bit about my big idea, but I think I'd like to sort of backtrack a little bit first.
Oh yeah, so tell us a little about your experience and
because my big idea sort of came out of our previous experience. I started my first business at the end of the 90s, 97, 98, I think it was, mm-hmm. and... I did okay. Grew it to about, I guess, $500,000. I'm mm-hmm. not quite sure about the exchange rate, but something like that. I employed staff. But it didn't go all according to plan. I ended up selling the business, which sounds great, but I sold it for a dollar. So, it wasn't as it sounds. And, one of the true things about business, and I think in life as well, is that you learn more from things going not according to plan, if mm-hmm. you like, rather than just being super successful all the time. And I learned a lot about how not to do business and how not to do things through that. And it was tough. I mean, I put a lot of time and energy and money, obviously, mm-hmm. Into it, and to kind of see it just disappear. On reflection, I recognize I was probably grieving for it for quite a while. And I sort of stumbled around. I was employed a bit and self-employed a bit and went freelance. But kind of fast forward to where I am now. But carrying with me one thing that I really consciously remember thinking in that first business was, on the first of every month, I knew that it was on me to find the business to pay the bills and to pay the salaries and to keep the lights on. And I think there's probably a lot of listeners to this podcast, small business owners, entrepreneurs, that really resonate with that situation. You know, it can cause sleepless nights, and then you get a big deal, and that's great, and that keeps you busy, and then you know, the whole sort of waxing and waning of revenues and projects and business. So that's kind of just a brief, and you guys can chime in and stop me talking, because I'll happily talk for the whole 20 minutes.
But we hear that all the time. People who start their business, and then the as you grow, the challenges don't get smaller. They get harder. You have overhead, like human capital, and how are you going to make payroll every other week? And so that is the constant struggle of the entrepreneur. And then you talk about, you know, how do you get that money that's going to support you through that month? I think I know this is where this is going. You know, y'all are in digital marketing and IT, we're IT managed services companies, similar challenges and similar problems. Project work versus how do we get these guys on a contract? How do we already know the money's coming in the door?
And that really is the big idea. I think the best ideas really are never new. You know, there's a saying, there's nothing new under the sun. And in a way, it sounds almost, not condescending is not the right word, but to call it a big idea, it's almost like it's an obvious idea, is to find a way in your business to make sure that the money is coming in automatically. But when Laura told me what the kind of format and structure of the your podcast was, I spent a bit of time thinking, and of all the things that I've learned about business and done in my business, that is the thing that has had the biggest impact. So that's kind of why I wanted to focus on it. So the way that I did act on it is, I started up Conquer the Chaos right at the beginning. I was still doing project work, and you know, I had developers, and I was kind of in that grind. But I knew that I was determined in this business this time to get it right.
And you, that was chaos.
That was the chaos in my business. Definitely. Yeah, and you know, it's interesting you point that out. It's like we often. They say about therapists, for example, that they become therapists because of what they need for themselves. You know what I mean? It's like absolutely. There was chaos in my business, so I'm setting out to conquer that. And by extension of that, I'm helping other business to solve to conquer their chaos. But this idea of wanting almost like automatic money, if you like, subscription revenue, recurring revenue, whatever you want to call it.
Mailbox money.
I've not heard that one.
That's really one where you don't have, it's already, you set it up, you establish it, and it just goes, and it just, you go pick up the mailbox every month and go on about your life.
I like that. And that's not to say that because it's automatic that you don't have to do any work. I mean, certainly getting to the place of that money coming in regularly is you know, very hard, but business is hard anyway, so you might as well, you know, do the hard work that is going to get you to that position of mailbox money or automatic money. So I knew that I was very consciously, very, very deliberately at the front of my mind. So my first business, it was at the back of my mind. I remember thinking to myself, you know, the thing that's missing in my business is you know, this regular money. So fast forward 20 years, whatever number of years it was, and it was very much at the forefront of my mind. And I found myself in 2015 in the fortunate position, certainly from a cash flow perspective, of being given the opportunity of working full time in one of my clients' businesses for a year. He wanted he wanted me in his business, not just kind of outside freelancing, but kind of working closely with him and his team, and in that. We developed what I guess can best be described as the kernel of what subsequently became Acanta. And I think because I was so conscious and focused and deliberate about what I wanted to have happen in my business, when I was coming to the point of knowing that I would be you know, leaving this client's business, I thought maybe this is hesitate to even call it a piece of software, because it was, you know, very bespoke, you know, almost hard coded for his business. But there was something in me that thought maybe this is the thing that if we play our cards right and we focus and we double down on it, you know, however you want to describe that process, this could be the thing that gets us to the place of automatic money.
So can you talk about Macanta? I'm not familiar. I know Laura is, but
just in a nutshell, Macanta is all about simplifying Infusionsoft, basically. But that's not from the point of view of necessarily Infusionsoft interface being, you know, complex or confusing. And if you use Infusionsoft a lot, as we do, and as a lot of our clients do, it isn't. You get used to it and what have you. But our take on it is that it's a fault of most software, is that there is a single interface for everybody, depending on, regardless of who you are or what you do. You log into a piece of software and you see the same thing. You know, you log into Microsoft Word, you see the same thing as I do. And our view of the world, if you like, in terms of CRM and marketing automation, is that different people in a business need to see and do different things with a contact record, even if they're looking at the same contact record at the same time. So what Macanta gives, primarily Infusionsoft partners, we are very consciously designed it as a tool to go alongside Infusionsoft and other digital marketing stuff that people like Laura and other partners use, is a tool to have in their tool bag, so that when they go to a client, they can reduce the training cost and basically get their clients up and running more efficient, more productively than before.
Let me understand, just because I'm not familiar with Infusionsoft. So this is something you can go to like an Infusionsoft marketplace, pull it down, try it for 30 days.
Absolutely.
Free version, a pro version.
Yeah. Right? So you obviously got to have Infusionsoft. That's kind of everything's predicated on that. But you can go to Macanta.org and you can sign up for a free trial, like you say, and you can put it on top of Infusionsoft and start to use it.
Let me understand functionally. So I guess when you're interacting with the CRM, salespeople need to view a record one way because they need access to certain information. Mm. And then somebody potentially in, I don't know, operations or marketing has to see a different view of that record.
The common example I use is like a receptionist pulling up a contact record probably needs to see and do different things than a sales manager in the same company. So they can both pull the contact up at the same time, but the receptionist, they don't have to think about where to go or what to do or what actions are possible with the contact. They get presented with the interface which matches their role in the business, which obviously makes them far more productive because they don't have to think about what they got to do.
One last understanding question.
Yeah, sure.
I'm the novice here in Infusionsoft. So then the value for somebody like Laura who goes out and deploys it gives her, I guess, another tool in her tool bag to customize and automate more easily to match the customer's needs.
Yes. Yeah.
So I can actually talk about the last campaign I built for a customer with Macanta, and it was just like the coolest thing I've ever done. Well, I mean, I've done lots of cool things, but I mean, it made such a huge difference in this customer's business. They were kind of like a Dave and Buster's kind of laser tag and bowling and arcade center. And they had three locations. They had two salespeople in each location. And the way they were set up when I came to the business was if somebody inquired over the website, it just sent an email to one of the salespeople. And so if you can think about, in the end, well, first of all, they didn't even know how many inquiries they were getting. Management had no idea how many inquiries they were getting. Management had no idea if they were being followed up with. They had no idea which salespeople were following up or who was doing what. Really, they just had no visibility into anything. And they had Infusionsoft already. So I set up Macanta with their Infusionsoft and I built them a sales pipeline so that when the inquiries came in over the website, they showed up for the salespeople in Macanta. And so the salespeople, they didn't log into Infusionsoft at all. They logged into Macanta. And once somebody inquired, they went into a list. And those people didn't go out of that list until they'd been dealt with, basically. So if the people just keep piling up in there, well, you know, management knows they're not being followed up with. So then they can address that with the salespeople. It turned out they were getting something like 200 to 300 inquiries a month over their website. And so it was kind of amazing that, you know, after we built that all out, that the management had visibility into really what was going on, and that the salespeople could be more effective because they had everything there in one place.
Did you achieve what Peter was talking about earlier, which is recurring revenue from this client, or is this?
That was a project. I approached them about doing it on a recurring basis type situation, like a retainer, but they didn't want to do a retainer, but they still kept coming back and paying me more money. So
how do you use the software provider? Do y'all provide resources to folks like Laura to help her understand how she can get to that recurring model?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, as far as the recurring model is concerned, the biggest thing in Macanta is in my business, because, you know, people sign up for it. There is subscription revenue, which has obviously got my business to a point where on that first of the month, I know that I don't have to worry about finding new work. We have a referral program for partners. It's not huge, but you know, you get enough of a small amount adds up. But really, from a partner perspective, having Macanta in a partner's back pocket should make it easier to sell what it is that they do for a client.
Yeah. What's the licensing model then? Does you only license it to Laura as the partner, or individual clients?
It can be individual clients. Yeah. It's just that I don't know if you've ever had anyone on your podcast talking about the importance of niching and focusing your message on who you're talking to. For me, I realized that I had an opportunity to have a bigger reach by focusing on relationships with other Infusionsoft partners. That's one of the reasons that I do my own podcast, the Partners Partner Podcast, which I'm recording with Laura after this, because it just helps with the connections and the relationships. And I know that if I can build up, you know, good, solid relationships with the likes of Laura and the many other partners that have kind of got on the Macanta bandwagon, that I've got a one-to-many,
Yeah, selling through the channel, not unlike what we do on the infrastructure, hardware, software side of the technology business. And just like you said, you can expand your reach. Laura already owns the relationships with the clients.
With her clients, exactly.
You get to Laura and people like Laura across the country, across the globe, I'd
imagine. Absolutely, yeah. And it hasn't all been plain sailing at all, quite apart from the technical issues on the development side. You know, if I was to think about maybe mistakes that I'd made in getting to this point now, is, and I think it's a very common mistake that the business owners make in the area of pricing. Started off pricing it way too low, when I look, I mean, it's not expensive now. I mean, it's $69 a month, but I started at 15, you can't, with the kind of scale that we operate at, it's very difficult to build a big business on. Not looking to build a massive business, but you need a heck of a lot of customers at $15 a month. And even at $69 a month, you know, it's the value that putting something like Macanta into a business, if it doesn't pay for itself in half the first 15 days, then something's wrong, I would say. Yeah.
One of the challenges I see in that space is y'all have to keep pace with any software releases that Infusionsoft does. And I imagine that you guys get them before they get released to the public, and they give you the opportunity to, I would think, generally.
Not so much. I mean, one of the great things about Infusionsoft is that its API is very mature and it's very stable. So we've developed against that, and, you know, touch wood, there haven't been, there's been a couple of niggles, but on the whole, it's the API isn't, it doesn't break, you know.
Good. Yeah. What about additional features? Are you getting feedback from folks like
that? Yeah, totally. I mean, that was one mistake that I didn't make. If I can talk about that, when I look back at, and this is kind of a lesson that I hope listening to your podcast will take away, that when I look back at what Macanta was like when I first started talking to partners about it in October 2016. Mm. PartnerCon 2016 was when I first started talking to partners about it. When I think about what Macanta was like and what it could do then, I'm really quite embarrassed that I actually had the nerve to talk to people about it. When I look at it now and what it is and what it can do, but the lesson there is that it's not until you get something out into the marketplace being used in the real world by real businesses that as a business owner you know what it is that needs to happen. And I can honestly say that both from a feature and functionality point of view, Macanta wouldn't be half as good as it is now than if we just kind of try to do it on our own. But not only that, the businesses that invested in Macanta right at the beginning loved it so much and what it was doing for their business that they actually put their hands in their pocket to sponsor the development of features that they wanted. Now, though, just to be clear, we weren't just kind of taking anyone's money and building whatever they wanted in it. It had to match, you know, my vision for the product and what I wanted it to do. But there were enough businesses out there that there was a kind of meeting of minds about, you know, the potential for Macanta in their business, that you know, they not only helped with the ideas but also, as I said, put their hands in their pocket and paid for it. And well, just talking about new functionality, one of the things I'm really excited about, and it's we're hoping to deploy it this week, is the first upgrade to Macanta that does actually cost a little bit more, but that's only because we're using additional APIs to add to the functionality of Macanta. Mm-hmm. And it's in the whole area of validating and enriching the data that's in your CRM. So with data validation and enrichment, and I wasn't going to go here, but you asked about new features. So I'll tell you that a salesperson, for example, could get a lead from the website where the contact has just maybe just given their email address and their phone number, and they pull up the contact record in Macanta, and straight away they can see whether the email address and the phone number are valid. But not only that, they can also see enriched data we're pulling in from a system called Full Contact, and it pulls in their LinkedIn profile, their Facebook profile, their bio, their photo if there's one.
So it's like a stalking program.
It's like a stalking program, yeah. And you see it as a user, and you think, oh my God, that's a little bit freaky. Mm-hmm. But from a sales, specifically an outbound sales perspective, you know, that, I mean, you're not going to phone someone up and say, hey, I'm just looking at your enriched profile here and I can see that, you know, whatever. But but it helps anything that you can give a salesperson to
connect,
yeah, and to build that relationship. And the few people that we've shown it to that have outbound sales teams have just said, you know, how quickly can we have this in Macanta? Yeah. So I'm really excited about what that's going to do for companies that use Macanta that particularly have outbound sales teams. Yeah.
I feel like I need to build that out for some of my new oil and gas customers.
Mm. I'm kind of shocked that Infusionsoft didn't have some of those features out of the box.
Well, it's funny you say that, because when I first had the idea of integrating with Full Contact, I'm really close friends with a former Infusionsoft employee called Greg Jenkins. Mm. And he has, because he used to work for Infusionsoft, he has, in his Infusionsoft, he has a feature turned on where you can actually see that there is Full Contact data. So they obviously experimented with it at some point, but didn't go with it. But that's great. I'm glad they didn't, because that's given us an opportunity to kind of augment and sort of amplify what Infusionsoft does do. And you can't, as when you create anything, you can't be everything to everybody. You know, Infusionsoft are very deliberate about, you know, the problems they solve and the software they've built, which creates opportunities, you know, for me and other developers of add-ons for Infusionsoft to kind of say, okay, well, that's great. now we can kind of plug this gap and plug this gap, and that's what we've done.
Awesome.
That sounds like a good business model, and Laura can attest that it's a good product. Mm. There's some new features coming out, so that's good. So, can we hear a little bit about thought leadership? We're kind of getting towards the end of our show, and things we'd like to learn. So that could be books, movies, theater, things that you've inspired you along the way.
Yeah, well, I mean, the one book that just came to mind immediately when I was thinking about my big idea and what I wanted to talk about on this podcast was a book that was recommended to me by a very good friend, Gareth Everson. He's another Infusionsoft partner in the UK. And it's called Automatic Customer by John Warrilow, W-A-R-R-I-L-L-O-W. I'm sure you put it on the show notes. And I think the great thing about Automatic Customer is that in the world of software or subscription boxes, you know, like, or Netflix or whatever, it's obvious where the subscription revenue is coming from. But the great thing about Automatic Customer is that John's belief is that there is an opportunity for subscription revenue in any single business, in any single industry. So the reason I wanted to mention it on this show is that I know that you have listeners in all types of industries and all types of businesses, and they may very well think, well, you know, subscription revenue is great for Netflix and Amazon Prime or whatever, but you know, I have a lawn maintenance business. You know, where's my subscription revenue going to come from there? And Automatic Customer, it's not a big read. It's a thin book. But it's the best kind of book because it's a relatively quick read with massive value. And if you've got your head switched on as a business owner, which I suspect most of the business owners, if not all, listening to this podcast are, read that book. But don't just read it. Then take yourself away for, you know, a day or 2 days, and have as the outcome from that time coming back and putting in the what is going to be the subscription revenue in your business. And I guarantee you, from my experience, your life will never be the same again. That consistent revenue, a freedom of time, but ultimately that peace of mind that the bills are paid, salaries are paid, and you know, I can come to Houston and, you know, not have to worry about, you know, I'm not selling, but I don't need to sell because I've already, you know, that work's already been done. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. I will put that in the show notes. And then how about Tech for Granted?
Yeah. So, Peter, is there any technology outside of your technology that that you might use daily in your business, or something that really helps you be able to do what you do or run your business?
The tech, I would say the tech that I most take for granted is chat.
Yeah.
I have a virtual team. I've got developers in Philippines and Romania. I work very closely with Peter de Villiers, another partner in the UK, and another partner also, Anne Flynn in Cincinnati, and without that instant chat, and it's not to say this instant, that is that when I message, I immediately get a message back, but without that kind of immediacy of connection, I think I would find it quite difficult to run my business. I mean, and so much so that I recently moved. I got a new accountant, and started off, it was only email communication. My last call with her, I said, is there any way that we can chat, you know, that I can connect with you and your team via chat? And she said, yeah, sure, this is a chat tool that we, so she used the chat tool in a business. She hadn't thought to extend it out to her customers.
And what tool is it?
It's a combination, which isn't great, but I use Rocket Chat with my team, and the Slack in there as well, and Evernote Work Chat, you know. So it's not necessarily the specific tool, it's just the technology of instant chat. And you know, one of the important things of it is, you know when to put it on do not disturb, so you can focus, because those notifications can get in the way. But I would say the tech that I take most for granted is
chat.
Instant chat.
Awesome.
Well, very cool. Good. I think we've run over. You had a hard stop. We sailed right by it.
Whoops.
But we're having so much fun. So.
Yeah. No, thanks so much, Peter, for being on the show. I know you flew
thanks
all the way from
me.
The UK to,
just
to
for
be
this,
on the show.
Yeah.
So thanks so much for that.
Yeah, it's great. You got to make the most of every opportunity. I think that's another lesson as well. You know, when I knew that I was coming out here for a meeting with a client, it's like, well, how else can I maximize the time while I'm here? And I reached out to Laura, and she said that you had this going on. So,
perfect. Yeah. So we're glad you chose to maximize your time with us. So, and thank you all for listening. And now go out there and close some business.
Big ideas, small business. See y'all later.
See ya.
Central Texas rains, the strongest drink I've found.
Thank you for listening to Big Ideas, Small Business. Follow us at BISB Media and visit our website at www.bisbmedia.com.